We begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
us pray. O God of power and might, your Son shows us the way of service, and in him we inherit the riches of your grace. Give us the wisdom to know what is right and the strength to serve the world you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The first reading is from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 16 and 20 through 24. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them with the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be the prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the Psalm 100 responsively. Please read the bold print. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with a song.
Know that the Lord is God, our maker to whom we belong. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture.
Enter the gates of the Lord with thanksgiving and the courts with praise. Give thanks and bless God's holy name.
Good indeed is the Lord, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from age to age.
Our second reading is from Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 15 through 23. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. My brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he'll say to those on his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he'll answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' As these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." My sisters and brothers, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. This evening we celebrate the feast of Christ the King. It's a relatively new feast in comparison to when we think of church history. It was instituted in 1925 by Pope Pius XI. Give some context of the world in which this feast was being instituted in. Silas Henderson writes, It was a world that has been ravaged by the First World War, had begun to bow down before the lords of exploitative consumerism, nationalism, secularism, and new forms of injustice. Pope Pius envisioned a dominion by a king of peace who came to reconcile all things, who came not to be served, but to serve. So this feast was instituted as an extra witness to the king that we follow, the king that we worship, and the kingdom that we are citizens of. Libby, how has a brief overview, a survey of events in 1925. In Italy, Mussolini had dissolved the Italian parliament and became dictator. In Munich, Adolf Hitler resurrected his party, and Mein Kampf was published that year. In the United States, 40,000 members of the KKK paraded in Washington, D.C., and the Ku Klux Klan had 5 million members, making it the largest fraternal organization in the United States. And the Spanish flu had just ended 7 years prior. So the historical context for this festival is to combat a sinful idolatry that still plagues us almost 100 years later. Christ, our King, shows us a new way and a new kingdom. Christ does not rule in the waves of the political forces of this world. What Christ does with his power and authority is not to consume and destroy, but to give love and life to the world. Remember, and I know I bother you about this around Lent and Holy Week, is that the kind of Messiah that Jesus was, that Jesus is not what they were expecting, right? And the kind of King and Lord that Jesus is for us still to some degree rubs up against our expectations, because we're still seduced by worldly power, right? Think of, and I'll probably bother you around this, around Lent. Think of one of the temptations that Jesus receives when he's in the wilderness from the devil. He promises him the powers over all the nations, right? That's not what Jesus is about. It's a different kind of authority and power that he embodies, and is a different kind of power and authority that he bestows upon us as the body of Christ, as the church. But we're still seduced by this. And that makes sense when we think of Genesis and the garden. We're seduced by power. We want it. We want to be gods. But the power that we're drawn to, not only is it infatuating, but it's also destructive. And like a drug, we want more of it, and we don't want to lose it. And that's why acknowledging Christ, not just as our king, but a different kind of king, not the kind of king and ruler that this world has ever seen, it challenges us. It's not just a witness to the world, but it's a reminder and witness to the church to come back from the seduction and the infatuation of those powers and to surrender ourselves to the way of the King, which is a King that did not come to be served, but to serve. Who did not come to destroy and to dominate, but to love and to heal and to offer new and eternal life. In our second reading from Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 18, we hear, "So that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints." That hope, our eyes are opened, and we're called to that, to this new hope in Christ. And it changes how we operate and how we look at the world and our relationship with God. I remember when my wife Jessica was an undergrad, finishing up her bachelor's in social work. She was taking a philosophy course. And she was talking about what her faith meant to her. I forget all the logistics of the paper, but she was talking about her religion. And she was explaining in the paper how she engages in good works not to earn anything, very Lutheran kind of way of laying this out, right? Shouldn't surprise any of us gathered here this evening. That no benefit or reward, it's a response to God's grace. And I remember looking over the paper if it was graded, after it was graded, and the professor, who was an atheist, was confused by such a thought. Like, you really think you don't get anything by doing what you do? Right? This was a foreign concept to him. But this is what the power of God through Jesus Christ does for us. It's a liberating power. It frees us, as it frees my wife and all of us here, that it's a power to freely love. It's a power to freely serve others in the name of Christ. It changes the way we even understand religion, because in her professor's understanding of religion, he was looking at, well, religion has this kind of power to control people in his mind, to kind of have a different dominating effect. But what my wife was trying to articulate is like, no, it has a liberating effect on my life. God has saved me, not through my work, but by his work. And when I follow the way of Jesus, I am liberated in that. And I can freely serve and love others. Now, a saint that we just buried last week, Vern Heimlich, talking to his daughters, they had shared stories on how he'd work at his garage, come home in the middle of the afternoon, get cleaned up so he could go play taps somewhere throughout probably Marion County, maybe even beyond, and then come home, get dressed, go back to work, consoling grieving families. And I think one daughter even challenged him about what he would do for people in the community who maybe couldn't afford their bill. Sometimes they were widows. Sometimes they were just on the margins. And he would tell her, it's only money, and that somebody has to take care of the widows. Somebody has to do it. He just embodied that. That's a power he had, right? He could fix cars. He was a business owner. But he helped those he knew that needed help. And then I quoted to her, to one of his, well, both his daughters, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17, which is a verse that has really have been holding dear to me throughout this year. Learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, and plead for the widow. I said, it sounded like Vern really embodied that. And she said, well, he probably wouldn't have saw himself as doing any of those things. Or, you know, when you think of justice work, she didn't see him as like a political activist or any of that nature. And I said, well, that's precisely it, though. Yes, advocacy, marching, you know, advocating for people, all that is part of justice work. That's not all of it. We're all called to do this in our vocations. People like Vern Heimlich did it as a follower of Jesus Christ in the business that he ran, in the gifts that he had. And then one of his daughters said, you know, if we were having this conversation around him, it would just be alien to him. He wouldn't think that he did any of these things. He says precisely it again. Look at Matthew chapter 25. The sheep don't say, hey, I'm glad you saw that, Lord. I was hoping you saw that. I was hoping you noticed. They're shocked. When did we do this? Because when Vern did those things, he wasn't thinking about that. He was just embodying the faith that God called him to, the hope of that calling, because his eyes and heart was open. That is to be, that kind of work, that kind of justice work is done in our everyday lives. And I praise God for people like Vern that show us that. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, God put this power to work in Christ, raised him from the dead, and seated him in the heavenly places. This is a new authority that we are now caught up in because our Lord is raised and ascended. and in this image of all things being under his feet. Think about that. All things are under our Lord's feet, and we are the church. We are the body of Christ, and that power and authority of Christ flows through us, not to dominate, but to liberate. Now let's think about and reflect on that work that we're doing as church, that power to feed the hungry through the food pantry that we support, through our backpack ministry, which, by the way, I had a conversation with the principal at the elementary school. And he said, you know, Pastor, you would think that the kids would be ashamed to get those bags, but they're excited. They're excited because they know they have food for the weekend. That's the power that we're using to help to feed and to liberate people in our community who are oppressed. We have the power to serve those who are suffering. Right now, we're figuring out ways to support those who are receiving services at Turning Point for the holidays, for example. The power to offer support and stability to foster homes when parents and children can feel hopeless and powerless. We did something as grand or as small, however you want to quantify that, as securing Zoom memberships for them, so that they can have that bonding experience as a family. They can enjoy something which can be relatively safe during the time of a pandemic, and that can suspend that hopeless and powerless feeling, and that the grace of God can rest upon them, and they can really truly share and enjoy the love they have for each other and the love that God has for them. It's just a few of many examples, my sisters and brothers, on how, like our Savior and King, we seek to use our power to serve, and that the power of God that flows through us isn't so that we work for a wage, but we're given an inheritance that we hear in this letter to Ephesians. We're not working for a wage, we're given an inheritance, and we share that with all people throughout this community and throughout the world. My sisters and brothers, we do not serve and use our power to save ourselves. We do this all because the loving power of God in Christ Jesus has saved us already. Amen. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thine the river, thine the tree, thine the Lamb eternally. the splendor, thine the brightness, only thee, only thee.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. One of the things that I miss about our inside service on Sunday mornings is taking prayer requests. So I want to invite you all, as we continue to worship here in the parking lot, if you have a prayer request, please give it to one of the people who are handing out bulletins, or you can text it to me. My number's in the church directory. And we'll make sure that we continue to lift up the by-the-minute prayers too. And tonight I'm going to lift up my friend Sarah. Her husband lost his job yesterday. They live in Marion. They have two young children, and they're quite distraught tonight, so we'll remember them. Longing for Christ's reign to come among us, we pray for the outpouring of God's power on the church, the world, and all in need. Sovereign of all, train our ears to hear your cry in the needs of those around us. Bless all social ministries of the church through which we seek to serve others as we ourselves have been served. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You cause rain to fall on the just and unjust alike. Direct our use of creation to provide for the needs of all people in ways that are sustainable for the earth. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Bring peace to every place where conflict rages. Grant opportunities for ending divisions among us and usher in your reign of unity and reconciliation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Heal the sinful divisions we erect between us and release us from systems of oppression and prejudice. Restore our capacity to see your image in those whose dignity we have stripped away. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Bring comfort and healing to the sick and the suffering and the worried and the desperate. We lift up to you tonight Sarah and Tyler, and we pray, Father, that Holy Spirit, you would comfort them in the loss of Tyler's job, that you would provide another opportunity, Lord, that you would provide for them, that they would have provision and every good thing that they need. We place them, Father, firmly into your hands, trusting you to take care of them. We also lift up to you tonight Tracy, Susie, the family of Tom Diebert, Vincent, Pat, Dina, Candace, Stan, Marlene Heimlich and her family, the family of Vernon Heimlich, Blaine, Michelle, Maya, Rhonda, Karen, Angie, the family of Jan Rengert, Judy, Megan, Rob, Leah, Lori, our homebound, and for those with COVID-19, we ask, Lord, that you would strengthen doctors and medical care workers, and caretakers who see to the needs of all entrusted to their care. We especially lift up to you tonight, Darlene, and those caring for her. Send us as encouragement and signs of your healing. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord of those serving our country, we pray for those in our armed services and their chaplains. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Pour out the gifts of your Spirit on children and youth throughout the church. Sustain those who work in children's ministries, youth ministries, and campus ministries as they nurture the gifts of young people. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Thank you for saints now departed, who fed the hungry, clothed the naked, wrote off the bills of widows, and tended to the sick. Inspire us by their example, that we may see your presence in those in need around us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Receive our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, until the day when you gather all creation around your throne, where you will reign forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. So with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We'll be distributing the sacrament by coming to you in your vehicles. We offer both consecrated wine and grape juice. Just indicate your preference when we arrive. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let's recite the mission God has given us.
St. John Lutheran Church Windfall is centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacraments, sent into the community to share the love of Jesus.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.